and welcome back to Badass Bitches Tarot for the week of November 10th through November 16th. I'm your host, Cardzi B. As many of you may already know, I'm a tarot reader and fashion industry survivor based in Manhattan. I began learning tarot when I was still in grade school and since then have turned that hobby into a tarot practice and the creation of my own deck, Badass Bitches Tarot by Cardzi B, as well as various tarot products and events. So we're moving through Scorpio season, headed towards a full moon in Taurus this coming Tuesday, November 12th. As we've been in a waxing moon cycle since the new moon October 27th, this is a great time to really work towards a longer-term goal. The power of the November full moon to make our dreams come true is intensified by a positive aspect to Pluto. While Mars sextile Jupiter gives the energy, initiative, and good fortune to ensure success. So that's the good news, which long-term listeners know I'm a Sagittarius. I prefer to focus on the positive. But the downside to this upcoming full moon is that it's opposite Mercury. And Merc is still at retrograde till the end of November, making communication, technology, anything kind of involving that a little bit challenging. And it also can increase just inner turmoil and confusion. So pros and cons to the full moon, but there is a really beautiful aspect for kind of manifesting and magnetizing things that you've been working towards in long-term goals. For me, the downside of this full moon, i.e. Merc being kind of an asshole, just means to lean into our intuition more and try to overanalyze less. The rest of the days leading up to the full moon are also good for revisiting intentions you may have set early in the month or in late October during that new moon cycle. I love to make those herbal honeys I've talked about on the new moon with herbs carefully chosen for what I'm manifesting. Like I like to use rose petals for love, mugwort for increased psychic intuition, and I infuse them in a local honey that I get at the farmer's market here in Union Square, and I turn them over the jar over each morning on my windowsill, and I kind of use that little movement as a ritual to remember my intention that I put into the herbs of what is it that I'm manifesting in this moon cycle. And I began using the honey in teas and recipes after the full moon. So I work with it from the new moon to the full moon, which is, you know, about what is that, like a 2-week period. And then on the full moon coming up on November 12th, I'll start to use it. And I put a little teaspoon in my matcha every morning. And in doing that is a continuation of that ritual of what is it that I'm kind of, that I've called into me that I'm wanting to incorporate in my day-to-day life. I feel like the hedonistic Taurus full moon is great for this, and I'll probably make myself a super decadent dessert with the honey on the 12th specifically for that reason. It's a great time to kind of bring things into fruition and kind of look at what you've been working towards and give gratitude for that. We have an incredible guest today that I'm so excited about that can tell us a little bit more about some powerful tools and daily rituals that we can also use. But before we get into that, let's look at our cards of the month again. Okay, so for our monthly cards, we have the Scorpio Ruled Death card, demonstrating the power in death and rebirth as we're likely to experience energetic shifts and transformations this month. On Instagram, I recently likened this card, the death card, to Lady Gaga's Marry the Night video in that there may be those deep Scorpio waters of darkness, but there's also so much healing on the other side if we really allow ourselves to kind of dive in and go through it. Our other card of the month, which I pull from the annual January 2019 overview, we had the Temperance card, aka the Alchemist of the deck. So this card is known as kind of the moderation card to a lot of people, but to me, it's really about knowing when to get in there and alchemize slash kind of mix things up and when to be able to take a breath, step back, and observe and receive. I think this is a perfect card for November, considering the chaos of Mercury retrograde, the craziness of the holiday season that's kind of starting at the end of this month with Thanksgiving, a lot of like family vibes, good and bad, right? So the astrological energies as well as the cultural practices of Thanksgiving can wear on us. And Temperance reminds us it's just as important, if not more so, to sometimes step back and take breaks before acting. And I think that this with the kind of death rebirth card are a really powerful duo for November. Now for our card of the week, let's take a look. The the devil, but reversed. Okay, this is like the only time I'm happy to see this mofo is when he's reversed. So in the OG Smith Rider Waite, this card shows Baphomet, which I don't know if I'm pronouncing this correctly. This is just from me like studying Tarot of the Bohemians and whatnot. So this deity, who is linked to the Knights of Templar, represented as kind of a half man, half human, half goat. And originally, this was supposed to be, this deity was supposed to be shown as the balance of good and evil, the balance of human and animal. But more recently, this symbol has been linked to kind of Satanism and all things evil. It wasn't the nature of the original kind of figure. But in the card, so you can look at this one of two ways. In the card, the devil figure has kind of this like scary hypnotic stare and wings like a vampire or a bat. So this can be really intimidating when you see this card. It looks like it's going to suck the life out of you. And it has this introverted pentagram on its head, a symbol of dark magic. So what was originally a card of kind of balance of light and, or not a card, a symbol with Baphomet of balance of kind of light and dark, or, you know, human and animal, is now like really kind of given a lot of flair, if you will, in this card to associate it with dark magic. At the feet of this devil guy, there's a naked man and woman kind of looking very Adam and Eve-esque who are chained to this base that the devil is perched on, this podium. And it seems like when you look at that, you're like, okay, they're bound to him by force. But when you really look at the OG card, the ties around their necks are pretty loose. Like they could probs remove them and walk away if they actually wanted to. Astrologically, this card is ruled by conservative Capricorn and the planet of Saturn, aka the planet of limitations and structure. Not my fave as a Sag, I have to say. But we often, we often feel in devil energy is that we feel constriction, right? We feel like, oh, there's limits. We're chained to something that we don't want to be chained to. But the real message in this card is the choice is ours to continue on in those limitations or to free ourselves and kind of, you know, break, like go through that darkness to the other side. In the Badass Bitches Tarot, this card is Whitney Houston, who is so incredibly beautiful, powerful, and talented, but literally drowned in her own demons. So I was watching this interview after I had already chosen Whitney for the card, and the deck had been, you know, come out and been published, and Diane Sawyer once asked what Whitney's biggest devil was. She said, you know, Whitney, was it the booze, cocaine, pills? And Whitney answered, that would be me. Noting that, like the card, she was the devil. She chose to stay in shackles. She chained herself to it. So obviously, upright, this card is all about self-sabotage, addiction, destructive emotions. But the reversal is all about going into that very shadow and releasing self-limiting beliefs, like literally untying yourself from the devil, if you will, to release any unhealthy relationships with people, behavior, situations that just aren't serving you anymore. And wow, Scorpio is the perfect time to go into that and release and clear it so that you can ascend and evolve. So I'm really grateful for this card of the week. I love the double reversed. That brings us to this week's guest, who is such a powerful witch and has gone through many transformations herself. Kat Cabral is a practicing witch, tarot reader, and the author of The Spells Deck. For over a decade, you can find her managing enchantments. It's Where We Met, one of America's oldest occult shops. She was blending oils, incenses, and making magical prescriptions behind the apothecary counter. She's also been featured in everywhere from New York Times, Culture Trip, The Numinous, Rookie, and BuzzFeed. Hey, Kat, how are you?
Hi! How are you? Thank you for having me.
So excited to talk to you. I know that we've known each other for several years, but I love that we reconnected kind of over the past year or so. And I have a million things to ask you, but congratulations, first of all, on the launch of the Spells Deck. It's so beautiful. Everyone that I've talked to loves it. I had it at my retreat in East Hampton 2 weeks ago, and I had a bunch of decks and books kind of out for people to use throughout the weekend, and everyone said this was one of their favorites, and a few of the girls were ordering it afterwards, so everyone's really, really reacting positively.
Oh, that's so wonderful to hear. Thank you. That means the world to me. I think anybody that creates any kind of, whether it's a book or a deck, any kind of offering to the world, it's such a labor of love. And it's such an intense process that when you put it out there, you know, I just hope that people would enjoy it and find use from it. So that really means a lot. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. So before I have like some additional questions about the deck as well, but before I go into that, I would love, I mean, I know a bit more because I've known you for a while, but I would love just for the listeners to kind of go through, how did you start your whole process into witchcraft and into tarot? Which came first and how did that sort of unfold for you?
So my early beginnings with witchcraft and tarot were a bit intertwined. I remember when I was about, let's see, like 13, 14, I think like most people my age in their 30s, in the 90s, there was definitely a big, you know, revival and interest in witchcraft, which we're seeing now again, which is so cool. And I actually babysat for a woman who practiced Wicca and various types of witchcraft. So working for her was really a great education because I would go to her house and her children were really little at that time. They'd go to bed and then I would look at this incredible bookshelf and just pull out tarot decks, all these different books from Buddhism to Wicca to meditation to tarot to feminism. It was incredible. And then at the same time, there was also a great witchcraft store in Long Island where I'm from that now is actually called A Time for Karma. They've, you know, undergone different owners over the years, but nice to support small businesses that are still going. And, you know, it was just kind of this wonderful time where I was raised super Catholic. I don't have any issues with it now, but I think at the time, you know, I was just trying to discover myself, figure out a spiritual path that, you know, made me feel included. As a kid, I was always into doing like rituals at the beach or, you know, and my father had a really beautiful garden, you know, in a park. That's when I felt most sort of potent and alive. So discovering that there was a nature-based kind of path that I could follow, it was like all of the different things came together at once. And I was like, oh, I think I'm a witch. Yeah, this makes sense.
I love that. So how did then, you said you were learning about tarot when you were first exposed to kind of like this this woman's library that was so incredible. How did you then begin reading? And is tarot still your primary source of how you conduct readings?
Tarot is my primary source. I think because I was such a failure at math all of these years, I still, even though I feel confident about myself as somebody who's knowledgeable about astrology, I never call myself an astrologer. Maybe that's something I should work on because I know quite a bit about it. And when I'm having conversations with astrologers, I feel like, you know, I'm always learning from them, but I feel like I can hold my own, you know, but there's something about the mathematics where I'm like, is this the right angle? Wait a minute, that kind of thing. So I incorporate it, but primarily, yeah, I use tarot. It's just the archetypes, the images, it's so universal, and I find it so funny, which is never funny when people are going through a difficult time, but, you know, but there is a sense of humor and kind of lightheartedness that we need when we are maybe just stuck in a situation and we can't really see what's going on. Sometimes the tower, you know, the tarot will throw in the tower card or the devil or something to just kind of be like, okay, let's, you know, let's just mess it up for you a little bit.
Yeah, definitely. It's so funny that you were saying like you were not good at math, because for me, like, I actually, like, I, like, did okay in school with math, but, like, I didn't love it. Like, I was always more, like, creative artistic writing was what I was passionate about, and I've learned that, like, now doing tarot, because I do a lot with, like, numerology and, like, the tarot constellations, and I'm like, oh, I actually don't hate it if it's applied in a way that I'm interested in, you know? Like,
well, totally. I think with astrology, I found that as well.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, okay, this makes sense. But it's just funny how we're, you know, at a young age, if you're not good at something, there's this shame around it.
Totally. So what is your now? I know that you are like, you know, doing a million things, and I love that you've used your voice to really kind of extend the reach of your practices and make it more accessible to people. That's always like, I always say that was my goal in creating my deck and the work that I do as well, but you're killing it. You're writing for a ton of magazines. You have your deck that's now published. What does your day-to-day look like? Is it still largely readings based? Because when I met you, you were working with enchantments, you were doing candles, you were doing some of your own courses, mm-hmm. and doing readings. So what is now like what is your average day, or what is kind of the bulk of your work look like?
So my world is very much split into two different passions. Witchcraft, we'll start there. But I would say I do readings on the weekends, usually Friday and Saturday. Mostly because that's when, you know, a lot of people are available. I feel like it's kind of, I love Venus Day, so I'm glad we're meeting today via the phone. It's just like a nice energy. And yeah, I definitely carve out, I try to write something every day. Just as a writer, I think that practice is, you know, it's difficult to keep that discipline, but if you want to write anything, even if you just, you know, for 5 minutes in the morning, you write a sentence, I don't know what to write today. Doesn't matter. Like, you're getting the muscle, you know, working.
Yeah.
So every day, you know, I try to write about something on Instagram or even in my personal journal, you know, just always something. And then I would say, you know, in terms of events, I do usually once a month. I've really been fortunate to work with this incredible space in Greenpoint in Brooklyn called Black Iris Tattoo. They're primarily a tattoo shop. However, they're beautiful and they hold incredible space for events. So I've been lucky to do all of the Sabbaths from the Wheel of the Year there. And I just did a Samhain ritual, which is incredible.
I saw that, I think, on your social media. I need to check that out. I haven't been to that venue before. I know where it is. I've walked by it, but I think that's such a, it's so cool that they're doing that type of event in that space as well. I need to definitely come to the next one.
Oh, yeah. It was, you know, it's funny because I worked at Enchantments for over a decade, and I did all of, you know, the circles there, and I did many classes. So when I left, I definitely missed that kind of home-based community, and I've really found that through Black Iris, so they've been incredible. And I've done events at other amazing spaces like Catland and Minka, private events, so it's kind of, every day is a little bit different. And then I also work in the world of theater as an educator, which is a totally different kind of magic, you know, teaching people, really young kids, how to act and how to kind of bring out whatever character or, you know, kind of scene or play that they're working on. So that's my like sort of day job cat, which has been really rewarding. And then you see the parallels between, you know, somebody coming into their own, stepping on stage, drawing up that power. It's the same as when you're in a magic circle and you're trying to, you know, bring up an intention. So I felt like those two parts of my world had been very separated when I was younger. But as I've gotten older, I'm like, oh, it's the same energy. It's the same well that we're drawing from.
I love that. It's funny. I always say that with my work in fashion. I now am kind of just have like select clients that I work with, kind of as a consulting creative director versus doing it full time. And I used to see it as very separate. Like you would always see me coming into like Enchantments or Flower Power, and that was like my personal life. And now that I kind of have really embraced this and I'm doing tarot full time, I see like how I bring that energy to fashion clients, and whether it's through creation that I'm working on, or really just like I've become like kind of like the like chief witchy officer of many of my like fashion clients in corporate America, which is so funny, where like I help them with like herbs.
They need it.
Yes. Like, and I do readings for a lot of like private equity guys, and I'm like, offer like, you know, okay, these are herbs that will help if this is something that you're dealing with, whether it's like anxiety or something physical. And you do start to see the overlap, which I love for sure, of like, oh, this is a common thread throughout life, no matter what area you're working in, because we're all kind of humans in this experience, and it's all healing, you know?
Absolutely. I worked with this group of kids yesterday, and they're working on a musical, and we did the circle, and we did all of these different breathing exercises, and then just watching them, you know, right after that, you know, find their character and perform. This is amazing. And they don't even know it, but they're tapping into something universal, intuitive, and ultimately empowering. So I love that. I feel like there's, you know, especially, you know, now it's great that people are discovering that there's so many natural ways that they can get in touch with their own witchy powers. And it's exciting. It's an exciting time.
Definitely. Yeah, I love that too. And I love that it's becoming kind of less taboo and more accessible to people in general. So I want to go into the spells deck. I love everything about this. Has literally now become like one of my daily, because I obviously also work with tarot every day, but I have a couple oracle decks that I'll rotate and pull from as like a card of the day. But I really, this is now one that I use every day. How did you come up with the concept for it? I know because you have like the, you know, the eight different kind of sections of the categories of the cards. And how did you come up with what those should be, like the content involved and like kind of like the flow and the theme of the deck?
So that was really one of the most difficult parts, but once I got it, you know, together, it just, there could have been, you know, 200 cards, you know, maybe there will be a spells deck part two or something.
Yeah.
It, you know, because the thing with spells, there are wonderful books out there and there's so many resources. And I was very cognizant when I wrote this that these are things that I have done over the years that I enjoy. And I really wanted it to be a jumping off point for people so that they could go, ooh, okay, here's a card about, you know, I just pulled one, spider, you know, from Witches Familiars, which is about, you know, the magic of animals. And this is something that I came up with, but maybe somebody else will read it and then have a dream, see a spider, have a different kind of personal background, and then be inspired to do magic on their own. Maybe it's in a different way. So, you know, it was very much, I wanted it to be educational for people, like, because I think with witchcraft, there's so many great books out there, and I liked the portability of the cards, and that was when Chronicle, you know, when we got in touch with each other, they really wanted the deck idea, and I was like, oh my gosh, how am I going to condense this kind of intro to witchcraft, you know, slash oracle thing into a portable deck? So I kind of just wrote down what are really the main things in life that we, you know, practice witchcraft for or work with. And it really kind of just came down to, you know, love and then success, healing, all of the kind of main universal themes, you know, as well as, you know, different kind of language of magic, you know, so like describing like what is the wheel of the year, you know, what are the elements, things like that. And then different witches' tools. So basically I wanted to set it up where, you know, there were different, you know, just kind of like the information about, you know, how to set up a practice. And then what are the different ways you can enact that practice? So you can set up an altar, and then maybe you're looking at the area of your life that has to do with love and relationships. Now look at that category, pull out a card, and then from there, you know, you can build something. Does that make sense? I don't know. It's like all over the place.
No, definitely. And that's definitely kind of how I've been working with the deck myself. I love also the breakdown for people that are new to, or they're just kind of learning practices of witchcraft, how you break down, as you said, the categories, but also there's kind of like a cool little overview in your book of like the wheel of the year, you know, the moon phases, the days of the week and what they're ruled by. Cause I have found I've been doing my podcast for a little over a year, and it's a great mix. And I'm so grateful for that, of people that, you know, have been practicing for years, for, you know, decades, and people that are brand new to, whether it's tarot or witchcraft. And a lot of, the questions that people that when they write in or that they ask me are kind of, how do you get started? And I think that this is a tool, that's so user friendly, and it is so, it's easy to just pull one card a day if that's all you have time for. But you can also go so much deeper into it with all of the different layers to the deck. So I think that this is something that, like, I have started to recommend as a great tool when you're beginning to learn, and it's very comprehensive without being intimidating. You know, like, you can break it down into little bite sizes, which I really love. I absolutely love this. And like I said, I got such a good response at my retreat a couple weeks ago. Everyone was like obsessed with this deck. They were kind of fighting over who was using it. So
that retreat looked incredible, by the way.
Oh my gosh. Wow. I would love to have so you beautiful. Involved in the next one for sure. It was great. It was like you were saying how, you know, you found that you connected to nature at a young age. I was the opposite. I was like the weird indoor kid with headgear. So I never realized until later in life, like, I love the beach, and my family never vacationed at the beach for whatever reason. And like, as I got older and had friends that I would go to their houses, and they lived in Long Island, or, you know, I was like, oh, I really like, that's what feels very magical to me. So it was so cool to be able to do like ceremonies at sunset on the beach. And it was a really beautiful experience.
Me too. I'm a sea witch all the way. Yeah. If you just put me by the water, I feel like this is it. This is my place.
Totally. All right. So we're getting towards the end of the segment, but I do want to ask you, because I ask everybody on the podcast this, and I love especially tarot readers' response. Do you have a favorite card in the deck? And if so, which card?
Do I have a favorite card in tarot?
Yes.
I want to
know both. I want to know both. That's, yes, absolutely. I was going to say, I always ask for tarot, but I would love to hear both. Yes.
So it's kind of it's an odd card maybe to pick as my favorite in, this is tough. I guess it's really tough. I think in the spells deck, one that really stood out to me was actually in the Bonds of Love category. It was a card about Vesta. I've been really interested in her for some time. And that's, you know, the Vestal Virgins of ancient Rome. They would tend over a sacred hearth. They would take vows of chastity in honor of Vesta, who is the goddess of fertility. And this was something, I think, when I was single and feeling really... Well, right before I was single for a long time, let's say, just kind of when you're attracting the same kind of person or, you know, same destructive patterns, I really became interested in Vesta, and this was a ritual that worked for me. It might not work for everybody, but I thought it was inspiring, so I put it in the deck, and really just a time about cleansing and really... you know, cutting ties, you know, from past lovers, friends, you know, even if it has to do with addiction, just like a really deep cleanse. I think because we're going into winter and we just had Samhain, it's been on my mind a lot recently about the power of, you know, really just cleansing and letting go. And even on like a huge pop culture level, people like Marie Kondo,
definitely.
You know, of just really doing this, you know, intense look. Like, why am I holding on to this? What is this intense emotional connection to this old, ugly pillow that, you know, is just taking up space? Why can't I let go of it? And that freedom of just being like, okay, I don't need this anymore, and letting go. So that I've been really, and I've been pulling it a lot. So I don't know. I've been thinking about her. And then in the tarot, my favorite card is one, I do a weekly tarot forecast through Instagram. I usually post it on Sunday or Monday. And this past week, I pulled my favorite card, which is the Six of Swords.
I love that. Yeah.
It's something that it's such a deep card because it really is the unknown journey. And I think, you know, there are just times in our life where we have to jump in that boat. And, you know, we kind of can see the land that's before us. And, you know, you have an idea of what the horizon looks like, whether it's a new relationship, a new job, leaving something behind for something better. I think about, you know, immigrants, you know, people going to brand new places. You know, my dad came here as an immigrant. He didn't know the language. Just this huge jump into something completely foreign and the amount of bravery it takes. So that card is something that, I don't know, I always, when it comes up, I don't know about you, but a lot of clients will be like, this card, it doesn't look completely promising, but it also doesn't look like, you know, the darkness and destruction of, say, the Tower. And I'm like, no, because it's the journey. It's the passageway. You are in it. Who knows what will happen? And there's an incredible amount of faith and trust that has to go into that process.
Yeah, I love that card as well. And it's funny, in my deck, because it's all like kind of iconic women from pop culture.
Yeah.
So it's Alanis Morissette, because when she went kind of from like angsty Alanis that's to Thank right. You India, because she had that big like India trip that was really cathartic.
That's right.
So I know this is like such a like simple way of like a soundbite on Six of Swords, but that's like my deck is kind of like a starter deck for people that are learning. Like, here's a little pop culture bite for like why this card is that. But I love when I get that card because I think that it really is those moments of transformation, and there are challenging and sometimes painful like growth periods in the process, but it is like always kind of a beautiful arc of healing in Six of Swords.
Oh yeah. Well, that's what I love about your deck though, because, you know, we look back to, you know, these archetypes, and I'm looking at the spells deck, and I'm looking at the goddess Arabia and Hecate, and then, you know, Bridget, all of these, you know, different, you know, people from antiquity. And now we can look at a lot of people in pop culture and, you know, how we view kind of archetypical figures. Am I saying that right? I don't know.
Yeah, I guess.
And, you know, and I think it's a great introduction, because especially when people are trying to get in touch with, you know, like, what is the energy behind this person? You know, what do they really represent? You know, that's something I love about your deck, because it is so accessible. People are like, oh yeah, I can see that. That makes sense.
Totally. No, thank you. That was definitely my goal. So it's funny because I get like dismissed for people. I've been called like the Elle Woods of tarot, but I'm like, I'll take it, because that's like, I'm trying to make it fun and accessible to people that might have been intimidated, that don't have all of the knowledge historically or of, you know, like witches and different goddesses. So yeah, some people dismiss me for it, but I'm like, I'll take it. It's fair.
No, I think if you love tarot, and I am proudly a tarot nerd.
Yeah.
I love the history. I teach classes on tarot when I can. You know, the last class I did, it was like 3 hours. We were going over time. And I was like, am I boring you guys? And they're like, no. It's like, thank God, because I could talk about this forever. And I don't know. I think a level of snobbery, or when people aren't inclusive and open, to me, it's like the antithesis of witchcraft, you know? Yes, there are parts of witchcraft that are secretive, oral tradition passed down. Sure, there's so many different types of ways to practice magic, divination, absolutely. But for me, I don't know, I just think it's more inviting to see different approaches. You learn more as a reader. You know, I love getting readings from other readers just to see, oh, wow, I've never looked at that card that way. This is fascinating. Thank you for enlightening me.
Yeah, I love that. And I love learning the same thing. I love getting readings from other readers and seeing different perspectives and how different people interpret the cards. And on my podcast, I've had everyone from like Mary Kay Greer to like Brandon Alter, who's kind of this like millennial tarot reader out of LA that's incredible. So I try to get like a big kind of whole perspective from the very like classic, traditional, very well-respected authors to people that are doing, brand new things with tarot from a different lens. So I agree with that as well. And I love that it's become much more of an inclusive community.
It has to evolve. It has to evolve in order to grow and continue,
Yeah, definitely. Well, thank you so much. I could literally talk to you forever, and I hope I get to see more of you. I would love to come to your next Wheel of the Year event for sure. I'm going to link to your website, which is moonagemagic.com, correct?
Yes,
and
that's it.
Your Instagram, which is also at moonagemagic. So I'm going to put that all in the notes to this podcast, so anyone who's not already following you, which you should be, they can find you through there. And thank you so much. I hope you have an incredible weekend, and I look forward to seeing you again soon, Kat.
Likewise. Thank you so much for having me. Such a pleasure.
I love Kat so much. I have learned so much from her over the years, and I am so obsessed with the spells deck. If you haven't already, definitely grab this deck. I'll link to where you can buy it as well as Kat's website in the notes to this podcast. So before we head out, to quickly recap our cards, this month we have the Death card, ruled by Scorpio, leading us through powerful up-leveling transformations. We also have Temperance, reminding us to step back and see the big picture so we can know when to get in there and mix things up and when to step back and observe. We also this week have the Devil reversed, encouraging us to lean into our shadow, take a real look so we can free ourselves from relationships, patterns, or behaviors that aren't for our highest good. And I love that Kat mentioned the Vesta card in her deck. This offers a really awesome ritual for kind of cutting cords that no longer serve, clearing energies out to really like allow things to come in that are really much more on our frequency as we kind of move through this transformation. And I think this aligns really nicely with Scorpio season, the Death card, and our card of the week, the Devil reverse. So definitely check out the spells deck, and the Vesta card is a great ritual for this week specifically. Also, Instagram lives, just a quick note on that. I'm really sorry that I missed last Monday night. My little dog had to have a surgery. She is doing well. This will be back this Monday, 7:30 Eastern time. So you have a chance to tune in to get your own free live mini reading. And if you want to send through your question in advance and you're afraid you're not going to be able to make the live, it does air for 24 hours. So feel free to DM your question and I will get through as many of those as possible. I also have some great new events happening in New York this month in November and Toronto in December. So follow at CardCB on Instagram to find out when and where these are so that hopefully you can join me. Happy Scorpio season to you all. Thank you guys so much for listening. And as always, stay magical AF.